This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Lord, this morning, we just invite your Holy Spirit to just come. Holy Spirit, help us to humble our hearts before you. We want to open up our hearts to you. Lord, we want to open up our minds to you. We ask that you will come and we just want to bless you and be blessed by you this morning. I ask that you would speak to us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, what I wanted to share has been percolating in me the last few weeks. And so I just wanted to share a bit. The first thing is, and it's just something out of my own personal devotionals and my own personal experiences. I shared a few weeks ago, but some of us, we are going to this Azusa Now conference in LA. And it was the 110th anniversary of Azusa Revival. As you know, so out of that Azusa Revival came, the Pentecostal denomination, and essentially people say maybe like out of that revival, 600 million people since then have been saved. And so the Assemblies of God, even Pastor Sam's sort of influence experience as well, because he went to Assemblies of God College. So even us, we're sort of part of that tradition, where essentially there was this release of Holy Spirit, and it's sort of a desire and a hunger for Holy Spirit gifts and etc. So anyway, a team of us from the intercessory prayer team and with Pastor Sam, and Pastor Sam came from Singapore, we went to LA to participate, and it was essentially from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. It was raining, but it was just in this the LA Coliseum. And just coming together and worshiping and praying and just essentially doing this, that we were dwelling in the house of the Lord and we were gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, seeking him in his temple. That's what we were doing from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I have to say, because I had never been in that, maybe other people, maybe you guys have been experienced that, but this 70,000 people, or even I haven't been in a group of 50,000 people or 30,000 people, we're coming together and worshiping the Lord. And I had never experienced that because I haven't been a Christian a long time. But it was just something else. I guess, we stepped in, because outside it was actually quite chaotic because there were security issues. They were checking the gate that we were trying to go into. We actually had to wait like over an hour. And there was some kind of, some people were on the outside, were getting anxious, and not our group, but other people. And there was some kind of arguments maybe that could break out, but it didn't, thank God. Because there was a lot of stress and people were worried about not being able to get in because they were checking individual bags. So you had like 70,000 people and the security guards were opening each bag. It was ridiculous. But once we came through that and we were able to go in, by the way, the security guards were not Christian. They were the staff of the Colosseum. So, but it, when we were able to step in through that gate, you know that scene whenever in sports movies and you're going through the tunnel and the football players are running into the arena? It was like that. It was this long tunnel. And as we were stepping through, the spiritual atmosphere was, and I don't want to make it emotional or anything like that, but like over spiritualize it, but stepping through that tunnel and then coming into that arena, something was different in my, like spiritually, something was different. And as we just stood there, and as we just like sat there, stood there and just worshiping and hearing 70,000 people worshiping together. And then at the front, just people of different denominations in their own tongue. Like, because there were, what they did was they had all these different, like, they had Russians, they had Catholics, they had Italians, they had Koreans, they had Chinese, they had, like, Africans, they had all these different nationalities were standing in front. And this is how they started it. They asked them to pray. And I honestly started crying. I couldn't explain it. I really could. And I was there and we're just worshiping and seeing all these different nationalities step up to the mic. And I can't even see them. I see them on the TV. And just, I can't even understand what they're saying because they're not interpreting. It's just like people just praying. And I just started crying. And something in me just, it was just so wonderful. Better than my boss telling me, oh yeah, that was a good job. Or better than my bonus check. Better than like sex. Better than anything. It was just that kind of feeling. And it was like that for about 15 hours, up and down, up and down. It was almost like you couldn't handle it. So it was like you were on an emotional fatigue a little bit because there was just so much. You were just like your heart was just being so overfilled with just joy and love. It was like, oh my God, can I handle? I can't like deal with this. Like it's, oh, I'm so tired now. Because emotionally, up and down, but there was just more, and then you'd kind of go down. And then honestly, we're also very sleepy because we're jet lagged. So you're also, it was like you're so emotionally happy, but then you're also so fatigued, you're like kind of dozing a little bit for like 20 minutes, and then you wake up. And also it was like raining, then not raining, but it didn't matter. So I guess the whole thing I was trying to share in my not so eloquent way was, I realized this might be what heaven is like. Like, you know, I know that we don't want to be over spiritual and stuff. And I think there are good reasons why the Bible doesn't really describe heaven many, 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 many ways. There's a few places in the Bible where it kind of describes it, but I think it's because maybe, you know, there are good reasons, but, you know, I share in Revelation 21, right? Then I, sorry. Revelation 4, and I'll read. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me, come up here and I will show you what must take place. So continuing, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper, and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And then after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So there's this one picture. And I mean, the Bible's a long book, and there's this one picture, you know, there's maybe like three or four places where talk describes heaven, Ezekiel, places in Revelation, and some Isaiah. But like, there's this place. And I think reading this, I realized, you know what? Like, we don't spend too much time in Revelation a lot of time because it seems like a funky book. It seems like, you know, oh, what is this? It seems kind of weird. But going into that Azusa Coliseum for just a little bit, it was just a few hours. Being together with like believers like us even now from all over the world, only 70,000. The population of the world that was from Genesis until now is much more than that. And yet, coming together just for 70,000 and not billions and billions, but coming together and worshiping the Lord together, oh my gosh, it was incredible. And I hope some of you who know me, like, I'm a financial person. I'm a very logical person. Who know me, you know, I'm not a very, like I'm not like a, you know, I'm not like a flaky, emotional two person. Like, I'm a hedge fund analyst, right? I work in finance. I study. So I want you to please understand, I'm not trying to like make the stuff up or make it like emotional, but it was amazing. Coming together, all those different nationalities, and worshiping the Lord together, you know, just, and I couldn't, it was just wonderful. And I think we forget that, actually. I guess what I wanted to share, if anything, about this Azusa thing was, you know, as it says in Revelation, we read this and be like, oh yeah, heaven. We don't really focus too much on that. Oh yeah, heaven. Like, how many times have I never... You know, like, oh yes, you will be, like, we think heaven and we think it'd be boring. Angels with harps. Or like we think, oh my God, like, I can't stay awake for 20 minutes or an hour at church. Seems so boring listening to a sermon and worshiping. How in the world, really, heaven's going to be like this? Like, we're all lying prostrate before this thing and we're just going to sing worship songs to him? And I just wanted to share, it's not that. It's so much more amazing. And the thing is, every one of us sitting here, we're going to be doing that. We have this heavenly inheritance. Like, our calling, our inheritance, and our future is going to be, we're going to be in heaven worshiping the Lord 24/7. And it's going to be wonderful. Not only is it going to be wonderful because we've been created for this, we're going to be linked up with him. It's going to be so joyful. It's going to be better than any food or compliment or money or affirmation from your loved, your boss or sex or marriage or whatever it is. It's going to be so much better. So that was just one thing I wanted to share. And so if you go to the verse today, right, David kind of got this. He said, and I've been meditating this, I've been memorizing this all week, but many weeks ago, one thing I ask of the Lord, this actually, my NIV is a little bit different, but the NIV that I was reading is, one thing I ask of the Lord, only this do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Actually, a lot of other stuff comes, like all the benefits that come from seeking the Lord comes after that. And that is a derivative. That, of course, happens when we are seeking Him. He protects us. He, you know, like, yeah, He'll lead us. He will lead us. How many of us, though, do the Matthew 6, like, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto you? We use it like a formula. It's like, yes, I will follow the Lord. Why? Because, well, He's going to bless me. Yes, I will follow the Lord because He will guide me. Yes, I will follow the Lord because He'll give me my husband. Yes, I will follow the Lord because He'll make me happy. And I think we focus too much on the gifts, don't realizing that the ultimate gift is the giver. The ultimate gift is the presence of Jesus in our lives and his the atoning sacrifice of His blood, that we can be connected with God. That is the biggest gift. But so many times I think we focus on the other things as the gift and not as Jesus Himself as the gift. You know, being able to sit there in that Colosseum for just 15 hours, that is the gift, times infinity. And this has been something percolating in my heart for weeks, but I think Pastor Sam's sermon was so right on last week. Like, you know, Pastor Sam is preaching about you as a Christian, you must do quiet time. But I just wanted to say, like, I almost wanted to say that wording kind of loses the point. It misses the emphasis. It's like, you must do this as a Christian. That's not the case at all. What I want to tell you, what I want to say is, as a Christian, it's not that you must do it, but if you want to have anything to do with the benefits of being a Christian, you will do this. Do you see what I mean? Like, when we make it a religious duty, like, oh, as a Christian, you must do quiet time. And a lot of times, you know, because one of the strongest spirits from the times of Jesus and even before has been that religious spirit, unfortunately. But religious spirit saps away the joy. It muddies up the purpose, really. The purpose of being a Christian is to, just enjoy the Lord forever. To really be able to delight, to receive Him and to delight in Him. Right? That's the purpose of a Christian. So, to be a worshiper, to worship Him, not because we have to, but because when we worship Him, we will be so blessed. So, if that's the definition of a Christian, someone who loves Jesus and worships Him, if you're not spending time with Him, then, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But it's not, again, because you must do it. It's because, why wouldn't you do it? Do you see what I mean? This is the best thing in the world, and why wouldn't you do it? So, you know, the other thing I wanted to share, and the reason I didn't want to record was, I was going to share some personal stuff, but you know, even as I was sitting there, though, honestly, so this is a revelation that God gave me, the understanding. Even as I was sitting there, and I went into that, through that tunnel, into that spirit-filled place, and just crying without even knowing why, because it wasn't like they said something especially emotional or anything. It was just the presence and just being so touched. And P. Sam shared, I think he was like up and down too emotionally. And P. Sam is like a submarine on the emotional scale. So the fact that he's crying and stuff, obviously it tells something. And he shared at the up here about how he was an emotional wreck throughout pieces of that time. But as I was worshiping there and just soaking in His presence, I actually started focusing on my own situation. Like, I was so focused on this beauty of Jesus, closing my eyes, just worshiping Him, so focused on that beauty, so focused. And then I started thinking about some issues that I was going through. And then I lost that kind of touch with Jesus. I lost that kind of sense of his presence. And I asked myself, why? What happened? What happened? And I realized because I became self-focused. Instead of being focused on Jesus and his love for me, and he'll take care of it, whatever it is my issues are. Instead of that, I became focused on my issues. Instead of focusing on worshiping Jesus, I started getting distracted on thoughts about myself. Like, what about this? What about that? Oh, you know, what about how, you know, whatever, different things. And I started losing that connection with Jesus. So I quickly repented. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for becoming so self-centered. I'm sorry. I don't want to lose this connection with you. I don't want to lose you. And so I repented, and then thankfully I was able to reconnect. But I thought that was an interesting thing for me. And maybe for us too, it may be a lesson to share. You know, one of the ways that we can lose focus on Jesus is when we start becoming filled with worry and anxiety. And instead of just trusting him and focusing on him, we start becoming self-centered. Worry will do that. Worry will turn inward. So I just wanted to, just like how David did here, what did he do? He trusted that in the day of trouble, he will keep him safe. By the way, you know what? A lot of times, remember that verse in John where Jesus said, we use this a lot. We use a lot of Bible verses out of context. There's this, even this week, Philippians 4, where it says, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've seen that on too many t-shirts. Actually, even this week for me, I was going to work, and I was in the tram, and I saw that on somebody's t-shirt, and I thought the Lord was speaking to me something, because there's something going on at work. And then I was led to read the rest of Philippians 4, because I had never actually read that verse in the context, really thinking about it. And I always thought, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like, if I'm Christian, I'm Superman. If I'm Christian, I can do anything. And that's how I always took that. But actually, the context of that verse is Paul talking about, hey, I have learned to be content in all circumstances, whether I have plenty or whether I don't have plenty, and I can be content. I have learned to be content. And then he was saying that is all the things that he can do in Christ who strengthens him. It's not that I can do Jesus strength, and it's true, obviously, the truth is true, but if the Lord strengthens us, then yeah, of course you'll be able to do anything. But that context, he was saying, don't focus on so much of the circumstances around your life. Don't be like, Lord, if you strengthen me, I'm going to be able to land that deal. Lord, if you strengthen me, I'm going to be able to buy that house or be successful at work. I mean, it's true, of course, because he will. I'm sure he will, but that's not the context of the verse. And actually, the context of the verse that Paul is trying to tell us is whether you're successful right now in your humanly eyes or not successful in your humanly eyes, you can be content in Jesus and be full of joy in whatever circumstances. That's what that verse is saying. So just like in the in what we're reading today, yeah, you know, the number one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That's it. That's it. And then afterwards, trust that he will take care of you. Trust that he will take care of you. Another verse that we sometimes misuse is that, you know, John, where Jesus said, I think it's John 15 or 16, where he says, hey, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And we always see it as, yes, Lord Jesus, with you I will overcome the world. Yes, my finances will be good. And of course, these are promises from the Lord. Yes, yes, he will bless you. He will take care of your family. But the whole context of that sermon, that part was, because in this earth you will have tribulation. but take heart. So it's a part of life in this broken world. And the Lord uses difficulties, right? But in this world, we will have difficulty. We will. But just like David here, let's not become self-focused about those things. But instead, you know, we focus on the Lord, trusting that he will take care of it. Either on this earth or in the earth, new earth to come in heaven, he's going to take care of it. And even despite that, even if not, we have an amazing inheritance where once we return home, I tell my wife all this. If the Lord calls me tomorrow to go to heaven, I'm going to be so happy. If I can die tomorrow and go to heaven, I'm happy. Because the only thing I would not be happy is if the enemy has taken me out and I haven't fully accomplished everything that the Lord wants me to accomplish, then I would be pissed. But otherwise, if I get to go back to heaven, we should be happy. That's the best thing. And we're going to be connected with Jesus. So again, let's remember, number one, to summarize, the most important thing, the thing that we could dwell in the house of the Lord. And I don't think this, by the way, this doesn't necessarily mean like dwell in church all the time. You guys know what, right? It's not that. That we could dwell in the house of the Lord, that we could be with Jesus all the time. To gaze on his beauty and to understand what that means. Wow, there's this amazing thing where we're going to be able to gaze upon the beauty of Jesus. That we're not going to fully understand that right now. And then that's the most important thing, the inheritance that we have. And then number two, that's why don't worry. Don't worry about those different circumstances that you're going through. Trust. First of all, you've already won. When Jesus died for us on the cross and we became Christians and we appropriated that blood of Jesus for our lives, it's done. It's a done deal. We already have the most important gift done. So then all these other things that are happening. But now I realize work is a ministry. See, if the Lord has called me to this place, it's up to him. He's put me here, then he's going to make me successful. If he's going to move me somewhere else, then he's going to lead me clearly. I'm usually such a worrier and an anxious person, but I realize that's the truth. That's the bottom line. There's it. So there's no need to worry. So then I've just been able to, and also, if I stay there at 2 a.m., I'm not staying there at 2 a.m. for my CIO. I'm staying there until 2 a.m. because I'm working and doing and eating, and everything we do, we're supposed to do as if we're working for Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm doing this. So I started getting bitter, and then those thoughts just came, and as I prayed, the Lord just like, so I was able to work until 2, 3 a.m. without any bitterness. And just really, because we do excellent work, not because to look good for other people, but because it's just who we are. Because work is a ministry. It's a worship thing. It's a worship that we give unto the Lord. So anyway, yeah, having gone through it. So yeah, these last 3 months, it's something, again, that I have also been going through. But so I realize when I worry, it distracts me. And also not only that, but the most important thing is that we already have this great inheritance from the Lord. So again, those are the 2 points. So if we could have, maybe I just want to pray for us and also give you some time of reflection on this. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I just pray that out of this message, Lord, whatever it is that you want to speak to the people here today, Lord, let the fullness of your will be done. Jesus, we thank you for the great inheritance that you have given us. We can turn on some music. So let's just take a time to really think about this, to really meditate on this. Yeah. So one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Yes, Lord, we just, Lord, just help us. Lord, I just pray that only you can do it, Father. So I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see not just with our minds, but with the very, every fiber of our being, Lord. That, Lord, the one thing that we seek, Lord, the one thing that we ask of you, Lord, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, Lord, that we may gaze upon your beauty. Lord, I just pray that if there's any worry, if there's any anxiety, if there are any other thoughts, Lord, that crowd this out, help us, Lord, this morning to lay those things down at the feet of Jesus. Lord, anything that would crowd out that center of our being that deserves to be focused on you, Lord, we lay down those thoughts and anxieties and worries in Jesus' name. And we cannot do it on our own. So come, Lord. Blow on through. Circumcise our hearts this morning. Lord, we repent. And repent doesn't mean we feel bad about something. No, not really. It means we just want to turn away from something that we might be mistakenly thinking about and come and thinking the truth. So Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come and circumcise our hearts. Cast that vision for us, Lord, that we have such an amazing inheritance. And the prize that we are running towards is so much better than anything on this earth. I think for today's CMP, instead of that, can we just pray together for SP in general in light of Pastor Sam's message about, you know, the fact that, again, as I said, he has to preach on that people, as a Christian, you should do a QT. That's wrong. Like, what I mean, you know, let's really pray that message shouldn't need to be preached, in the sense that, as a Christian, it's our privilege. I mean, as a Christian, by very definition, you want to be connected with Jesus. You want to receive this glorious inheritance of love and peace and joy. And being that comes from being connected with Him. And if you're not doing that, then you're just being a Christian and doing the rules without benefiting from any of the positive, which is why there's no point in being lukewarm. So let's really pray for ourselves, and then let's pray for our family, Solomon's Porch. Let's really, yeah, whatever it is in your prayer language, whatever, but let's pray that people would have this vision. They would have an understanding of this glorious inheritance, the greater thing. So let's just pray.
Yeah, again, it's all about the positive, not the negative. People need to understand that just like, you know, what you experience at that Azusa now, what I described earlier, walking in and just feeling the connection with the Lord and just being so filled with His love and His joy that would move people to tears, that is the great prize. And when people know that this is the greater vision, this is the greater thing that they have, they would not be distracted by the little things. So it's not about don't do X, Y, Z. It's more about do A because it's so much better. So let's really pray that people will be able to catch this. They'll be able to get this. Let's pray for that.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul.
anybody wants to pray, come up and pray. You're welcome to. Also, if you need to go, of course. I mean, you know, we just bless you to go. But I feel like it's Saturday. We have a few more minutes. Maybe we could just stay in this. And anybody wants to pray, please pray.